I love how Gary stretches the truth just a little bit. I was telling somebody early tonight, nobody wants to interview me anymore. I guess they're afraid of what I might say. But I do believe it's time somebody said something, don't you? Just briefly, I traveled light today, and I didn't bring any of my books, but I brought some books that I feel are very important to read. Since the subject came up earlier on vaccines, I have five of these. If you're interested in them, I support this gentleman's research in the science area, not necessarily where he comes philosophically, but he's also now written two other books, again on vaccines. You need to be very watchful and wary of what the government is giving you to help you be healthy, because they really don't want you to be healthy at all. So I have these here. If you're interested, I only have five. They're $9 a piece, and I'll just set them aside. Now, I've been accused of being an all-or-nothing kind of person from time to time. But I just happen to have a Baltimore Catechism, number one, pretty basic for most of you here. One of the questions is, what is God? What is God? And the answer for our children is, and this is a theological statement I don't hear much in church, God is a spirit, infinitely perfect. Where is God? The answer is, God is everywhere. Does God know all things? God knows all things, even our most secret thoughts, words, and actions. Is God just, holy, and merciful? God is all just, all holy, all merciful, as He is infinitely perfect. You know, today you hear a lot about Jesus, don't you? As a matter of fact, Newsweek has been talking about Jesus. And Time has been talking about Jesus. The frustrating thing for me is, this Jesus that they talk about is not my Jesus. This Jesus that they constantly refer to is the cosmic Christ, the New Age Jesus. And this is a frightening thing, because from whence does this human Jesus, this demiurge, if you will, this heretical Christ come from? And with that beginning, with the concept that God is an infinitely perfect spirit, I'd like to delve back into 1931. A House of Representatives Special Committee described the enemy, communism. And here is what they said. The following, the House of Representatives said, is a definition of communism. This is not my definition. This is the House's definition. A worldwide political organization advocating, one, hatred of God and all forms of religion. Two, they advocate destruction of private property and inheritance. Three, they advocate absolute social and racial equality, promotion of class hatred. They advocate revolutionary propaganda, stirring up strikes, riots, sabotage, bloodshed, and civil war. The House of Representatives in 1931 said they advocate the destruction of all forms of representative or democratic government, including civil liberties such as freedom of speech, of the press, of assembly, and trial by jury. Recently, just an aside, I had to sign two documents, one to lease a facility and one to borrow money. I had to hire an attorney before I signed the first lease in order to get out of giving away my constitutional rights to a trial by jury. The document said, when you sign this document, you will no longer have a right to a trial by jury. That was to lease the space that we wanted to lease. On the document to borrow money, again, when you sign the document read, when you sign this document, you are giving up your right to a trial by jury. That document, if I wanted the money, I had to sign. That's where we are. 1931, 1996. Number six, the House of Representatives said the ultimate and final objective is by means of world revolution to establish the dictatorship of the so-called proletariat into one world union. In other words, what George Bush described as the New World Order. Incredible to think that someone who has been espoused as a conservative Republican, George Bush, holds dearly to the beliefs of the Communist Party. I hardly ever talk about Bill and Hillary Clinton. They're hardly worth talking about. The communist rules for revolution read like this. Ask yourself if any of these apply to today. Corrupt the young. Get them away from religion. Get them interested in sex. Make them superficial and destroy their ruggedness. If you like, you could take a pencil and just make a little check mark if it's already been done. Get control of all means of publicity. Get people's minds off their government by focusing their attention on athletics, sexy books and plays, and trivialities. Divide the people into hostile groups by constantly harping on controversial matters of absolutely no importance. Tanya Harding, O.J. Simpson. We've spent 2 years with O.J. We spent a week with John F. Kennedy. Destroy the people's faith in their natural leaders by holding them up to contempt and ridicule. Always preach true democracy, but seize power as fast and as ruthlessly as possible. Congress just passed the anti-terrorist bill. That bill allows the government of the United States of America to use its own military on American citizenry. Communist rules for revolution by encouraging government extravagance, destroy its credit, produce fear of inflation with rising prices and general discontent. Someone said earlier today the mistake that the Freemen in Montana made was they wrote fraudulent checks. But I ask you, how can you defraud a fraudulent bank? The Federal Reserve is completely fraudulent. It makes money out of thin air and then charges usury on top of it. Promote unnecessary strikes in vital industry, encourage civil disorders, and foster a lenient and soft attitude on the part of government towards such disorders. By specious, meaning fair-seeming, but deceptive. Argument caused the breakdown. Breakdown of what? Old moral virtues, honesty, and sobriety. In other words, promote abortion, homosexuality, lesbianism, witchcraft. Cause the restriction of all firearms on some pretext with a view of confiscating them and leaving the population helpless. The 1986 Gun Act was taken almost verbatim from Nazi Germany's in the 1930s. What is communism? That is communism. How can we know when we are dealing with communism? Well, are we dealing with hatred of God? Are we dealing with the destruction of private property? Are we dealing with civil strife? Are we dealing with the destruction of all forms of representative government? Are we dealing with either a covert or overt world revolution? That is communism. How many check marks have you made so far? Now, how can we know who is a communist? Communists support these things that we were just talking about. Let me tell you what communists do. You want to know when you've got a communist? This was the plan passed from Joseph Stalin to various communist district organizers in helping America self-destruct. Religion, in the area of religion, by philosophy, mysticism, the development of liberal cults, and the furtherance of atheism, discredit all Christian creeds. What do we got today? We've got New Age, occult cartoons, occult in the bookstores, occult in the public schools, and occult movies and occult videos. In the ethical area, corrupt morality by advocating promiscuity and advising high school and university students to practice promiscuity. Introduce companionate marriage ideas. Advocate legalized abortions. Destroy the family. Abolition of inheritance, even to the extent of names. Destruction of all records of title, birth, family history. So what have they done? Promote sex education, hand out condoms, promote living together, homosexuality, lesbianism, and divorce when it's convenient. This is communism. In the aesthetic area, what did Joseph Stalin tell his various communist district organizers to do? Cultivate the ugly. Cultivate futuristic and aberrant art, literature, drama, and music. Cultivate the practice of crude Orientalism, modernism, and degenerate perversion. Our government finances this. During the early part of Bill Clinton's administration, under Jane Alexander, American taxpayers financed a 3-foot mound of synthetic excrement, a sculpture of two women engaging in oral sex, a film actually showing one man pushing his head into another man's rectum, a photo of a man with a bullwhip in his rectum, a film depicting Jesus Christ as a topless woman, and a porn film titled The Sluts and Goddesses Workshop. Wake up! This is communism! In the sociological, abolition of social opposition by subversive practices, the display of vulgar extravagance, promotion and exaggeration of all social and economic conditions, political corruption, create unrest, suspicion, revolt by the workers, intensify class war. How do you do that? Blacks against whites, haves against have-nots, people with jobs against people with no jobs, men against women, women against men, liberals against conservatives, conservatives against liberals, homosexuals against Christians, children against parents, parents against children, Muslims against Jews. Only 40 or 50 years ago, this nation didn't feel that way. We were together. We fought a war together. World War II, we fought together. World War I, we fought together. But why? We fought World War I to get the League of Nations. We fought World War II to get the United Nations. There has never been a doubt in the people who are running this little machine where we're going. We're going into the New World Order. In the industrial and financial, the communists want to create mistrust of banks by circulation of rumors of instability and distress. Destroy ideals in craftsmanship. Can you buy anything today that's well made? Everything is junk. Everything is a piece of plastic. You buy a shirt, the button's off in a week. Standardize, cheap and shoddy. Advocate state monopoly of ownership, even though it's private. Exchange all foreign currency at a slight discount for U.S. gold. Gradually withdraw gold from circulation. It's gone. This is communism. Political. Set up the ideal of thinking internationally. Your House of Representatives knows this. This was Joseph Stalin. Set up the ideal of thinking internationally so as to undermine national patriotism. Weaken all government departments by corruption. Attack all political parties and create suspicion and distrust upon any and all occasions. You know, do we vote Republican or do we vote Democrat? Well, it's up to you. Do you vote for Satan or the devil? Take your pick. Amplify facts by fiction and create startling exposures. Ridicule all patriotic effort and undermine all preparation for defense. Carry out our set policy for world revolution outlined in Rykov's position. And what was Rykov's position? It is our duty, he said, to inculcate in the minds of all nations the theory of international friendship. The theory of international friendship, pacifism, peace is what we hear today, and disarmament, which the Vatican promotes right now, by the way. Encouraging resistance to military appropriations and training at the same time. However, never for one moment relaxing our efforts in the upbuilding of our own military establishment. So, whether they're a card-carrying communist or not, an individual who supports the things that we just read is, in fact, living up to and working for the values and the system of communism. Well, the media tells us that communism is dead. I'm going to tell you that any sense of truth coming from the media is what is dead. Now, how does communism work? How has it worked in country after country after country after country? In this book, I had to cut out two chapters because as I allowed people to read it, I found out that they were not able to just take it in. You see, Catholics have a history too. And most Catholics don't know their history. It's pretty intriguing though, because Catholics have lived through some of the worst revolutions applied to any group, including those who lived through the German Holocaust, but not one time, but time after time after time. In France, and in Spain, and in Portugal, and in the Philippines, and in Mexico, and in Russia, and soon, I'm sure, in the United States of America. How does it happen? Well, first of all, you get a group of people who, by the rule of law, George Bush told us, I quote, "By the rule of law, we will have a new world order." What is the rule of law? Pretty simple. You write the laws. You make up the rules to the game. So now we're playing your game. You know, it just tickles me to hear these call-in shows and hear these people tell talk show radio host about we the people. We the people what? We the people haven't done anything in this country for 200 years. We're just now figuring it out. We the people have been living in a Masonic republic for 200 years. Hello? Wake up. Now this is the way it goes. You accumulate people in the Congress. You accumulate people in the executive branch who all have the same way of thinking. They rewrite the rule book. And this has been done in country after country after country. And how do they write it? Aha. Well, now let's go back to God momentarily. He's all just. He's all holy. He's all merciful. He is infinite spirit and perfect. You can't see him because he's spirit. Let me ask you, is God a liberal? You think he's a liberal? You think he's a Democrat? Do you think God is a moderate Republican, a la Bob Dole? Or do you think God is like a conservative Republican like Rush Limbaugh? I think you're getting my drift. God is an all or nothing God. God is pure and perfect light. And Jesus Christ came as a light to represent God the Father in this world. And he was perfect. He was perfect. But you see, Jesus is gone now. He's gone back to heaven. So we can't see Jesus the human, this cosmic Christ that they're talking about. So we got to start getting back to reality here, that God is really God. And every time that they twist a rule, every time that they make a law, every time that they allow a little what they call tolerance or diversity and unity or whatever it is an application to demonism on our God. The Blessed Trinity. God is all or nothing. He is pure, perfect light. He will not participate in darkness of any form. And that's why he told the Pharisees what he told them. What did he tell them? Your father is the devil. But you don't hear that in church. Now, the difficulty with us is we look at people and we say, well, you look like me. Well, this is the way it used to be. It's not like this anymore. We used to look at people and say, well, he looks like a man, I'm a man, and she looks like a gal, and, you know, she's a gal. I'll tell you why it's not like that anymore, because when I go walking around a mall, I see people with noses in their, with rings in their nose and rings in their ears and rings in their bellies and rings in their elbows, and I know they don't look like me. But you know, at one of the Nazi trials, one of the people who had been in one of the camps, he suddenly broke down crying at one of the Nuremberg trials, and they asked him, why did you break down? And he said, I looked on the witness stand, and he said, I realized that that man sitting there who persecuted us and killed us is just a man. You see, communists are just men and women who believe something different. What is it that they believe different? And of course, that's the question. You see, this fight, this battle that we're in, as much as I detest abortion, it's not about abortion. And as much as I detest war, it's not about war. And as much as I detest liberal thinking and so on and so forth, it's really not about that. What it's all about is this age-old battle of Lucifer versus Christ. Lucifer has his own church, you see, and God has his. And if Lucifer can assign more people to his church who really don't know they've joined the church, he's being very successful. And if he can keep people in God's church immobile so that they don't even think that there's a war going on, and God forbid there be a militant church, God forbid that the crusade be fought to save Western civilization, well, then everything is okay, because most of the world is working for Lucifer. These people who we don't see, these people who get into government, these people who twist and change our laws and look like us are not like us at all. And not only that, they do not support. In this country, we have a constitution. I wouldn't really mind so much if they supported that. No, it's not a monarchy. Yes, it was a republic. Yes, it's a Masonic republic. But we still have a constitution. Had. But you see, the people who run this government and the people who run both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, as a matter of fact, the people who created the Republican Party, are members of the Masonic Lodge. Did you know that? I have a book called 10,000 Freemasons, and in that book they give the names of the people who started the Republican Party. And when you start going through the names of the who's who, Bob Dole, George Bush, Ross Perot, they're all members of the Masonic Lodge. Now, what's the big deal about that? The big deal about that, one of the big deals, actually it turns up being a little deal, but it's still a pretty big deal, is that when you join the lodge, you take an oath. It's a sacred oath. You know why? You know it's a sacred oath. It's because it never comes out what the oath is. If it wasn't sacred, everybody would know. It wouldn't mean anything, would it? You say to a Mason, you say, you took an oath to support the Constitution of Freemasonry, even if it's opposed to the Constitution of the United States of America. Didn't you? Oh, no, I never do that. Never took any oaths. Well, you see, Masons have taken oaths to lie to you. Now, what kind of honesty are you going to get out of a man who's taken an oath to lie? Hello? Not long ago, we met a 32nd degree Mason. He told us he didn't take any oaths. Okay. So you lied. In the first degree, they say, I, Congressman, of my own free will and accord in presence of Almighty God in this worshipful lodge of free and accepted Masons dedicated to God and held forth to the Holy Order of St. John do hereby and herein most solemnly and sincerely promise and swear I will always hail, ever conceal, and never reveal any part or parts, art or arts, point or points of the secret arts and mysteries of ancient Freemasonry which I have received, am about to receive, or may hereafter be instructed in. To any person or persons in the known world, except it be to a true and lawful brother Mason or within the body of a just and lawfully constituted lodge of such. Not my father, not my mother, not my sister, not my brother, not my daughter, not my son, not my dog, lest he's a member of the lodge. In the third degree, the Mason promises. He says, further do I promise and swear I will obey all regular signs, summonses, or tokens given, handed, sent, or thrown to me from the hand of a brother Master Mason. Furthermore, do I promise and swear that a Master Mason's secrets given to me in charge as such, and I knowing them to be such, shall remain as secure and inviolable in my breast as in his own. When communicated to me, murder and treason excepted, and even they left to my election. You wonder why these congressmen run around with their pants down, then pull their pants up and protect this one and protect that one and hide this guy away, give this one his retirement fund, get him out. It's always going to be a cover. These guys have taken an oath to cover. There is no Republican Party. There is no Democratic Party. There never was a party except for the Masonic Party. There is no ABC. There is no CBS. There is no NBC. They all came out of David Sarnoff's RCA, who was a Mason. In the seventh degree, he says, the oath, I promise and swear I will not wrong this chapter of Royal Archmasons. Later on, I further promise and swear I will not speak evil of a companion Royal Archmason behind his back nor before his face, but will apprise him of all approaching danger. And you'd better do it. Because if you don't, you have taken an oath also. To all which I do most solemnly and sincerely promise and swear with a firm and steadfast resolution to keep and perform the same without any equivocation, mental reservation, or self-evasion of mind in me whatever, binding myself under no less penalty than have my skull smote off and my brains exposed to the scorching rays of the meridian sun should I knowingly or willfully violate or transgress any part of this my solemn oath or obligation of a royal archmason. So help me God, what God is not our God, and keep me steadfast in the due performance of the same. You know, it's mind-boggling to me that these guys can come up to anybody and say, I am a Christian. How can you promise to lie? How can you promise to protect another individual, whether he's lying, whether he's cheated, whether he's treasonous? How can you make these promises and call yourself a man of God? It's an absolute impossibility. And in the Royal Arch degree, what is promised is that you will hire, bring in under you all of those who also are members of the lodge. So what happens here is, and this is what has happened to this country, the country was founded as a Masonic Republic. Everyone who came into government for 200 years has been a Mason. If you look at the architectural scheme of Washington, D.C., which I'll show you later, it's laid out all in Masonic symbolism. For all of David Barton's wonderful tape on what a great Christian country we are, he's missed the complete boat. The ship went out and left him on shore. And someone told me recently the man won't even discuss Masonry. You can't talk about this country without bringing up Freemasonry. I used to say, you can't talk about politics unless you talk about the Council on Foreign Relations. Forget the Council on Foreign Relations. The Council on Foreign Relations is the hierarchy of international Freemasonry. That's all it is. CFR came out of the Royal International Institute, formed by who? Cecil Rhodes. Cecil Rhodes was a Mason. And if you track this thing back, I'll tell you where you end up. Gnosticism. Let's go back to year 300. What have you got? Arianism, yes? Those of you that remember that kind of stuff? Arianism. The story of Athanasius? Now, where does the church come into all of this? Why is this church a problem? This church is a problem, the Roman Catholic Church, specifically because it's mystical. It tries to influence people. It promotes structure and order. It has a priesthood. It promotes the Bible. It promotes a true reading of biblical history. It offers sacraments and rites of initiation, which conflict totally and completely with those of Freemasonry. The Catholic Church, I'm sorry to have to enlighten some of my Protestant friends, is the complete antithesis of Freemasonry. Now, being that is so, and I'll prove that more to you a little bit later because I'll read it right from their own words, can you understand that there might be a need to infiltrate this church? Because we have in their own writings that they hate the fact that there are hundreds, thousands of priests, bishops, nuns, cardinals, and lay people who at a moment's notice are willing to lay down their lives for the Pope and for the Lord. So what are you going to do with millions of people? Today you've got approximately 700 million Catholics running around on the loose. That is a very, very, very powerful force of people, 700 million people. Well, a man named Bernard Fay told us that the church has been infiltrated by Freemasons for a long time. In 1723, the Constitutions of the Freemasons, says Fay, spoke of the Brotherhood as having its own Catholic religion. By the way, another aside, when a Freemason named Calles, C-A-L-L-E-S, took over the Catholic Church in Mexico, he thereafter, in a Spanish name, called his church, which he had taken over, the Catholic Church of Mexico. You think the Mexicans know that? No. So when they see the Catholic Church doing crazy things, do they realize that Calles has now put all of his own people in as priests and brothers and cardinals, a la the KGB did in the Soviet Union, in the Greek Orthodox Church? Toward the middle of the 18th century, says Fay, Europe basked in the light of a thriving Freemasonry. Masons were to be found everywhere. Fay says great numbers of them were to be found in the French lodges of the 18th century. He says there was no organized opposition on the part of the French church against Freemasonry. From 1778 to 1790, French Freemasonry could be detected everywhere. In the parliament, in the army, in the monasteries, in the schools were found members of the lodges. And the clergy, he said, did not remain behind. In Fécamp, there was a lodge entirely composed of monks. Get this, Brother Michael. Of the nearby Benedictine monastery. We've got to keep our eye on you guys. The Lodge des Neuf Sœurs, Nine Sisters, numbered 13 priests amongst its brethren, and 27 other lodges had priests, get this, as worshipful masters. However, the leadership and high functions generally remained in the hands of the high nobility. By that time, the nobles of Europe had become Masons themselves. So, nothing new regarding that. Now, do we have current evidence that a similar thing has happened today? Yes, we do. I have a list here of a number of archbishops, cardinals, and monsignors, prelates, priests, who are, this list goes back to 57, 60s, 70s, and I have another list here of Masons in the Catholic Church. I won't give the names, but let's go through some of the positions. These aren't low-level working agricultural positions, you know. Secretary of State, Prefect of the Sacred Congregation of Public Affairs. Member of the Pontifical Commission for the Revision of Canon Law. Secretary of State to Paul VI. Vicar General of the Diocese of Rome. Controller of all the clergy in the city. Member of the Sacred Congregation of Sacraments and of Divine Worship. Prefect of the Sacred Congregation of Bishops, Prelate of Honor and Secretary to Paul VI. After being excommunicated for heresy, this individual was reinstated by Cardinal Vio, who was the Secretary of State to Paul VI, and who was a member of the OTO, which was Aleister Crowley's secret society. Prefect of the Congregation for Catholic Education. You wonder why they're teaching sex ed in the Catholic schools? This is why. Consultant in the Sacred Congregation of the Propagation of the Faith and in the Sacred Congregation of the Holy Rites. Archbishop of Florence. Consultor of the Pontifical Commission for the Revision of Canon Law. Member of the Pontifical Commission for Russia. You wonder why the third secret hasn't been given? The individual who controls candidates who are likely to be raised to the dignity of cardinal. The head of Catholic schools. Assistant to the Vatican Pontifical Commission for Biblical Studies. and the head protocol officer of the Vatican State Signatura. He controls canon law changes and the chief of the Office of Secretariat of State. Now, let's forget all of that for just a moment and be practical. If you had a Holy Roman Catholic Church, what would your expectations be at our present position and time? Well, I don't know what you would expect. Let me tell you what I would expect. First of all, I would expect a cutting away of the Vatican-Moscow alliance. How can the Vatican, if it's holy, abide by the Soviet Union? I would expect to hear some condemnation of the New World Order. I haven't heard a word, have you? I couldn't imagine that the Catholic Church could support the United Nations. Just briefly tap into the United Nations. John Cowles, Advisory Council of the U.S. Committee for the UN in 1959, stated that the traditional American concept of national sovereignty is obsolete. Alger Hiss, communist, went to prison for it, was the first chairman of the United Nations and a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. Felix Frankfurter was one of the founders of the ACLU. William Zoster was head of the U.S. Communist Party. Elizabeth Gurley Flynn was a top Communist Party official. Dr. Harry F. Ward of the Union Theological Seminary was a member of a Communist Front. All for the United Nations. The three attorneys who ruled that the UN was constitutional were members of the Council on Foreign Relations. All of the men who drafted the original proposal of the Steering Committee for the United Nations were members of the Council on Foreign Relations. The U.S. delegation to the United Nations founding in 1945 included over 40 Council on Foreign Relations members. Here's the prayer of the United Nations. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center, where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Do you know that the United Nations is the home of Lucis Trust? Do you know that the United Nations is the home of Lucis Trust, which used to be called Lucifer Trust? But in the early part of this century, that was a little much for people to take. So they changed it to Lucis Trust. And Alice Bailey, who was head of Lucifer Trust, told her followers, quote, "It must be remembered that the forerunner of all movements which appear upon the physical plane is educational propaganda, which is what has been going on in this country for over a century, and it's why there are so few people here tonight." She said, Alice Bailey, the three main channels through which the preparation for the new age is going on might be regarded as the church, the Masonic fraternity, and the educational field. John Paul calls for the end of sovereignty for the United States and other countries, the end of absolute property rights, the end of gun rights, the new international economic order, The redistribution of wealth and jobs. He calls for nations to trust the United Nations. He calls for total disarmament. He promotes the United Nations as the hope for peace. He promotes UNESCO. To the astonishment of many Catholics, John Paul II told the Director General of UNESCO that since the birth of UNESCO, the Catholic Church has always carefully followed the UNESCO program. You know where UNESCO came from? It came from a man named Archibald MacLeish. Do you know Archibald MacLeish is a member of the Order of Skull and Bones, of which George Bush is a member? But let me tell you just a little bit about the United Nations. Secretary General of the United Nations, at one time he was Secretary General, you thought, quote, praised Lenin as a political leader whose ideals were reflected in the United Nations Charter. Let me read that again, just so you get the full impact of this. You thought, who was the Secretary General of the United Nations, praised Lenin as a political leader whose ideals were reflected in the United Nations Charter, developed by the Council on Foreign Relations and at this time supported by the Vatican. Birds of a feather, folks, flock together. Birds of a feather flock together. You know the story of St. John the Apostle. He wanted to take a shower in one of the Roman shower stalls, and there was what he deemed a heretic in the stalls at that point in time. Remember this story? And he decided to head in the other direction and remain dirty rather than get in that shower stall with that fellow because he was afraid that God would hit the place with lightning and destroy it. And the fact of the matter is, when he stands at the United Nations and just stands there and has his picture taken, he is validating that organization. And the United Nations, my friends, is right out of the pit of hell. We wouldn't expect him to promote ecumenism, especially if he's read Mortalium Animus. You have no idea how hard it is to obtain this. This little encyclical has disappeared off the face of the earth. I called Brother Michael and a number of other people in order to try to obtain it. I finally did obtain it. But they do not want anyone to see this encyclical, especially a modern-day priest. Now, there's no more... This basically condemns ecumenism. Mortalium Animus.
What does it mean in English?
Death of the soul. Death of the soul. On fostering true religious unity. Encyclical of Pope Pius XI, January the 6th, 1928.
This monastery.
You get it now? Can't get it right now. Angelus Press has it now. Another thing I would expect is some condemnation of the New Age. I might expect some condemnation of divination, perhaps, or Freemasonry, or witchcraft. I might expect that Teilhard de Chardin or Father Matthew Fox might be excommunicated. But that would be too much to hope for. I might expect to hear some comment on homosexuality or lesbianism or pedophilia or child ritual abuse. But no, I don't. I don't hear any support for nationhood. What do I hear from the Vatican? I hear promotion of disarmament, promotion of the United Nations, promotion of world government. I hear no comment on Freemasonry, which is the same as promotion. I wouldn't really mind if you called them. They're in Longwood, Florida. The name of the church is called Annunciation. They have a Catholic bookstore. Don't tell them I told you to call. this is the kind of book they sell there. I bought this there. In Search of the Christ Sophia. In Inclusive Christology for Liberating Christians. In a nutshell, what this book says is if you refer to the Book of Wisdom, you'll find out that wisdom is feminine. Therefore, somehow, you can make Christ feminine, and you can have a feminine Christ, if you would really like one. And then, I bought this book, Thomas Berry and the New Cosmology. I even read these things, believe it or not. And this is nothing but pantheistic garbage, God part of the creation universe stuff, references to Father Matthew Fox, who promotes witchcraft, homosexuality, and lesbianism. If that is what remains of the Catholic Church, there isn't one. But that's not what remains, right? Because there are little twigs springing up all over the place of truth, like this church here. Now, there's a United Nations oath that goes along with being an ambassador to the United Nations. This is the oath that George Bush took in 1971. Most recently, Madeleine Albright took it. I solemnly swear to exercise in all loyalty, discretion, and conscience the functions entrusted to me as an international civil servant of the United Nations, to discharge these functions and regulate my conduct with the interest of the United Nations only in view, and not to seek or accept instructions in any regard to the performance of my duties from any government. Geez, I thought George Bush was American. Or other authority external to the United Nations organization. You remember we described what communism was. If an individual promotes, supports, or works for the values of communism, then you can be pretty sure you got a ringer. Now, I'm not saying that everybody knows that he's a communist. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. There are a lot of people out there today working on little self-help books, self-help videos. They're just trying to get ahead in the world. They don't realize that God is not of the world. And there's no one left to tell them, because when they go to church, they don't hear this. God the Spirit, the infinitely perfect Spirit, the all-just, all-holy, all-merciful, has been watered down to a cosmic human Christ who will not judge mankind and certainly will not condemn mankind. This is the religion of communism. And if they can promote mysticism, the New Age, or some other wacky thing to get people off track, and of course we know it's principalities and powers, right? Then Satan can just take more people to hell with him. Someone I know was on an airplane, and they were sitting next to an individual who was praying for much of the trip. As a matter of fact, she was a pro-lifer. She told my wife, she said, I thought, hey, this is okay. He's not talking to me, but he's praying. And that's good. I'm glad he's praying. She recognized he was praying. Finally, he stopped, and she made a comment to him about how great it was that he was praying. You know who he's praying to? Satan. Very top here. You can't read it very well. Let me have the... And here he is meeting with the Dalai Lama. And this is nothing other than a general occultism. Okay, Tom. Now here he is sitting on a par at a synagogue, at a Jewish temple. I showed these last time I was here. These things have never been done before, have never been seen before. What is he doing? The Jews killed Christ. Can you read the Bible? So now you're going to go out and be buddy-buddy with B'nai B'rith? How can that be? How can that happen? Do you not understand all human Christian history? Okay, Tom. Now here he is, receiving the B'nai B'rith, March 22nd, 1984. And down below, here he is meeting with members of the Trilateral Commission. Steering committee, male members of the Council on Foreign Relations, a bunch of Marxist hoodlums made up of people like Zbigniew Brzezinski and David Rockefeller, and CEOs,
Henry Kissinger.
It's quite a little gang. Here he is getting a little blessing from one of the adorers of Shiva, Bombay. Something is wrong. Do we not recognize something is wrong? I know all you do, but you know, you show these pictures to somebody at outside a Novus Ordo church and they say, well, what's the problem? This is at a Buddhist temple. I'll give you the date, May 10th, 1984. Now, this man, Nelson Mandela, I have from a person who would know, is a 33rd degree Mason. Nelson Mandela is also a communist, and Nelson Mandela is absolutely annihilating anything that even remotely looks like Christian in South Africa. This ethnic cleansing that you're hearing about is Christian cleansing throughout the world. And as the Antichrist becomes more powerful, you're just simply going to see more and more and more of it. Now here, we have a picture of John Paul II hand in hand with the communist 33rd degree Mason, Nelson Mandela. Most all the blacks think that Nelson Mandela is the great black hope to South Africa. Here he is shaking hands with the communist Mikhail Gorbachev, who's also a Mason. Okay, this is a picture of Vladimir Lenin. This is the individual whose philosophy the United Nations supports, so says Secretary of the General U Thant. Now, I have a book coming out called Unholy Alliances. It won't be in the bookstores, I can tell you right now. And I've got a number of quotes in there on the United Nations. The people who are hanging out at the United Nations are just simply, in a nutshell, one word, they're Luciferian. And I'm just sorry to report that, but that's just what it is. And so all of the people today who are promoting the United Nations and the concept of world government, whether they know it or whether they don't, whether they're doing it for money or whether they're doing it for power or for whatever reason they're doing it, they are promoting the philosophy and the religion of the Antichrist. Now here he is meeting with the World Council of Churches. Now, the World Council of Churches was established by Freemasonry in this country to liberalize the fundamental Protestant churches. In other words, there was a time in this country when Protestant churches were conservative. You know, the idea of having an abortion was remote to Catholic or Protestant at the turn of this century. Everyone condemned it. The idea of having a divorce, the same thing, but no more. And this, it only shows the amount of brainwashing that they've done. How did they do it? TV? Television? Movies? Videos? And the school system. How in the name of God can you teach sex education and not have kids want to do sex? How can you hand out condoms in a school and not have kids want to experiment using them? It's absolutely ludicrous. Where are rational? You don't have to be Catholic. You don't have to be Baptist. You don't have to be anything. You could be a doggone pagan atheist. And why can't you figure out that if your kid's in that school system, he's getting indoctrinated into a Baal cult? That's what it is. It's Baal worship. Do you understand? All occultic religions focus on some form or another of sexual perversion. That's a known fact. All pagan religions, regardless of which one it is, all stem from one form or another of sexual perversion. You see, I'm only now figuring out that all of this stuff that's isolated, you know, people are fighting this problem, and people are fighting that problem, and people are fighting this problem over here, whatever it is, and not that they shouldn't, they should. But this all falls within the arena, all falls within the amphitheater of sorcery, is what it is. And they are initiating our children in this country and around the world into one form or another of mysticism or pagan occultism. And what did we see before? What did Joseph Stalin say that they needed to do? He said we needed to indoctrinate people into mysticism. Go to a Barnes & Noble. Go to a Barnes & Noble and just walk around. Take a walk. Go into the health section. Go into the psychology section. Go into the history section. Go into the women's section. Go into the religion section. Go into the fiction. Go into the nonfiction. I don't care where you go. Go into the music section. Go into the cookbook section. You're going to find New Age. Now, this couldn't possibly be happening by accident. There ought to be a little mix, shouldn't there? But you see, the whole world is against Christ. This is the scariest thing of all. Because not only do you have communists against Christ, but you have Buddhists against Christ, and Hindus against Christ, and Jehovah's Witnesses against Christ, and Mormons against Christ. Martin Wagner, and he wrote this very thick book on Freemasonry. And I do not have the time tonight to go through all of it. But he did one snap job, let me tell you, of researching what was termed the sacred mysteries. You're going to hear a lot about this. It's all in the bookstores today. All this stuff about the mysteries. You're seeing more and more stuff from the Aztecs and the Incas and the Egyptians and the Mayans and the Zunis and so on and so forth. Where's this all coming from? He says, having taken, and I'm on page 248, so he's done 247 pages of proof, okay, already. Having taken for our guidance the statements of eminent Freemasons, that if we would get the thought of Freemasonry and the hidden meaning of its rites, we must go to the ancient mysteries of Phrygia, Greece, Egypt, Samothracia and Sidon, and other nations of antiquity, and study those institutions and discover their ideas of the divine. He says, if Freemasonry is the mysteries restored, the task need not be difficult nor fruitless. It is with this religion set forth in the mysteries that Freemasons claim for their institution a unity, harmony, and identity. They claim and profess to set forth the same religious ideas, worship the same deity, and employ in their religious and moral instruction the same hieroglyphic methods and art speech that prevailed in those cults. And so what he has said here is, if this is what they say is true, if this stuff is hidden, it's no problem, right? We just got to go back there and see what it's all about. Of course, how many people, even Masons, are willing to do that, right? How many Catholics are willing to go back and see what the Church Fathers said about anything? Very few. So he goes back. He says, bear with me because I know how hard it is to be read to, and especially at this hour. In the foregoing chapters, we have shown from trustworthy sources the nature and essence of the religion of the mysteries, their notions and conceptions of the divine nature. You know, they're always talking about divinity. And the divine acts. as they obtained in them and for which they as institutions stood. We have found that the religious acts, ACTS, consisted in paying homage to the generative principle or the reproductive power in its several aspects in nature and in man. The mysteries involved in the generation of life are the facts upon which the mysteries as religious institutions were founded, and to the processes involved in the former, the rites of the latter were conformed. If then there is a unity in the religious ideas and conceptions of the divine nature in the mysteries and Freemasonry, upon Masons' own confessions and declarations, the proof is conclusive that Freemasonry is a sex cult in which the generative powers are adored and worshipped under disguised phallic rites and symbols. Phallicism is the essence of the religion of the mysteries, and phallicism is the essence of the religion of Freemasonry. With that in mind, let's go through a few more acetates. This is a picture of the Washington Monument. Every picture, virtually, that you see of Washington, D.C., you see on the cover of books, every time you look, you see a picture of the Washington Monument. This has very, very much importance for members of the occult, because you see, the Washington Monument, to members who understand the occult, they know the Washington Monument is a symbol for the phallus. If you fly over the Washington Monument, there is a circular pool around it, which basically is a dot, meaning a dot in a circle, if you look at it from the air. Can you understand what I'm saying? And a dot in a circle is a symbol for sun worship. If you go to Pat Robertson's book called The Millennium, there is a dot in the middle of a circle on every single page. A dot within the circle was the symbol used by the Illuminati. And in the ancient Mayan religion, it was used to signify Ra, the sun god. And so this is where we get the sacred mysteries. You see, we've been living with them and never known it. I did not know this myself until relatively recently. Now, this is not anything that jumped out of a hat. It's nothing new. This stuff has been going along, marching through time, right along with Christianity for pretty much ever. And the proof of the point is that that Washington Monument is a perfect copy of Cleopatra's needle, which came from Egypt. And there is I'm not sure if it's the exact one or one very similar that has now been moved to Central Park, New York. And so, you know, it's funny, once you start understanding these things, we were looking through a furniture book the other day. And you know those little furniture books, how nicely they put everything together, everything's the right color. You women know. You say, boy, I wish I could do like that. And right on the coffee table, there was what we term these as obelisk. And now we see it on fireplaces behind actors in movies. And we see it here and we see it there. I tell people about these things and they report back, hey, I saw one and it was here. I mean, they're all over the place. But you've got to know what these things are. The occult knows. They've known for years. It's high time we figured it out. Okay. I took this picture myself outside the Masonic Temple in Washington, D.C. There's two lights outside there. If I keep talking about this, I'll probably take them away. This is the top of the lamp, and right here, I don't think you can mistake it, but you know, if you can't see it where you are over there, come on over. That, folks, is a goat's head. There's no mistaking that. That's not a cow or a moose or a sheepdog. That is a goat's head. And if you're not completely sure about that, forget that picture and Tom, go to the next one, and you see the hooves of the goat on the bottom. And of course, those people who have been in the temple come out with pictures. The whole inside of the temple is just completely designed and ravished with all kinds of serpents all over the temple. How can any man call himself a Christian and be associated with such perversion? It's mind-boggling. This is right outside the temple in Washington, D.C. Now, again, we see the serpent around the neck here. We see the ankh here. All occultic. What do you find about this that is anything of Christ? Nothing. This is a layout of Washington, D.C. When they laid the city out, the architect was a Mason, and they laid it out in Masonic symbols. Here's the White House. Here's the Washington Monument, as I said, point within a circle. Here's the Capitol. The streets that go to the Capitol make up Masonic symbolism, obviously. There's a goat's head up here, and if you turn this on its side, the other way. The other way. One more. You'll see an inverted five-pointed star with the bottom right on top of the White House, folks. That is a satanic symbol. That is a pentagram. What are the other points? I should know them. I can give them to you if you want to write me. I mean, I just don't have them here with me.
One's Mount Vernon Square. They're all important in reminding themselves.
That's right. Nothing here is happening by accident. That's my whole point. Now, the New Age, where does the New Age come from? It comes right straight out of the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry. They've published the New Age magazine for nearly 100 years. When Paul Fisher wrote that book, Behind the Lodge Door, with almost 1,000 references, they changed the name. Now they call it New Age Journal or something like that. So, the New Age comes from Freemasonry. This is Albert Pike. Albert Pike wrote Morals and Dogma. Morals and Dogma is a very large treatise on pretty much the sacred mysteries of Freemasonry. He talks about Christianity in there, then he mixes it in with Osiris and Isis and the Eleusinian mysteries and just about every religion known to mankind. And this is Madame Blavatsky, whose Theosophical Society, the whole goal of the Theosophical Society was to create a unity among religions. In other words, water down Christianity, make it bland, make it simple, turn it into absolute nothingness, and then mingle it with all of the other religions. And of course, she was a Satanist, a Luciferian. And you know, what gets me is she says there is no religion higher than truth, right? And here's the serpent eating his tail. You see it? Nazi symbol on top. The serpent eating his tail was the symbol that Benjamin Franklin used. Benjamin Franklin has been considered the greatest proponent of colonial Freemasonry that we ever had. And one of Blavatsky's statements was, what is one to do when in order to rule men it is necessary to deceive them? Now, you can find these kinds of pictures in books on magic, books on witchcraft, and basically, this is the god of Freemasonry. This is the god Baphomet. This is the god that the Templars were supposed to have been worshiping when they came back from the Crusades, and the Pope and Philip le Bel condemned Jacques de Molay, who was the head of the Templars at that point in time, and they scattered to Portugal and Scotland. of course, resurfaced later as the organization of Freemasonry. But again, this is the God of Freemasonry. Now, how would you like to be the wife of a Mason and suddenly come to realize what your husband is into? And he has taken an oath, hasn't he? He's not going to tell you what he's into. Now, what I like to do when I can, I like to read the Occult Zone books. And I have a book here called The Evolution of Freemasonry, written by a Freemason, published by McCoy Publishing Company, which is a Masonic publishing company. Some of you will really enjoy this. I just toss it in here because I thought it was interesting. It's in this book on page 89. There's a picture of Martin Luther, and it says, Martin Luther opened the way for the future development of Freemasonry. In the book, 10,000 Freemasons, 10,000 famous Freemasons written by a Freemason, there is an individual who was a cohort of Martin Luther who was himself a Freemason. And so, was Luther himself a Mason? I don't know. They don't hold to that themselves. They don't particularly care to honor him as a member of the lodge. But the point is that he certainly didn't help things, did he? And then we have on page 259 in this same book called The Evolution of Freemasonry, this quote, Freemasonry's bitterest foe has always been, want to guess? The Church of Rome. This is the Masons talking. That's why I love this. This is the Masons talking. Freemasonry's bitterest foe has always been the Church of Rome. Now, how can you be a Mason and go to Mass? How can you be a Mason and say Mass? And then they go on and he tells us about Pope Pius VII, who published a bull against Freemasonry, and Clement XII, who published a bull against Freemasonry, and how Freemasonry confiscated church property and specifically tried to prohibit the administration of the Holy Sacrament. Satan wants to prevent the Blessed Sacrament from being delivered and exposed. I won't get into my whole story, but for a long period of time, although I was brought up as a Catholic, I went in a different direction. And I read the Bible and so on and so forth, but I wasn't going to a Catholic church. When I came back to it, I was kind of looking around for the way it used to be when I left. So, in a way, thank the Lord, I wasn't there for all of the brainwashing that was going on for 30 years. And so when I was looking for things that I used to realize were there and should be there, they were gone. Like an altar, it's gone. Like a railing, it's gone. Like Stations of the Cross, if they're not gone, they're so small you can hardly see them. And the tabernacle, where did it go? Now what I do is when I walk into a Catholic church, I look for where they put the thing, where they hid it. Recently I went to a Catholic church in Florida, and I knew they wouldn't put it on the front altar, so I suspected they might have it over on a side altar, you know, tucked away somewhere. But they didn't have any side altars in this church. So I'm looking all over the place, and I said, I can't see the thing anywhere. So I asked somebody, is this a Catholic church? Yes. I said, where's the Blessed Sacrament? Oh, follow me. So they take me all the way around to the back of the church, through a couple doors, and it's almost like in a closet in the back of the church with a little red light by it. Next thing you know, it'll be out the back door. Somehow or another, I suspect the last days are going to be very, very closely associated with no more proper Mass and no Blessed Sacrament. Now, the Masons say in free America, There's never been any opposition to Catholicism. They've never really opposed Catholicism here as a religion, because all they propose is tolerance. Tolerance to all religions. I think I have established, and maybe I've done a poor job of doing it. We are in the middle of spiritual warfare in, where are we at? April 1996. But the point is that I think some of us at least are here because we realize that there's a real problem today in the church. And the question, of course, is, what's the problem? And what I'm trying to establish is that long before John Paul II, long before John the 23rd and Paul the 6th, their bare minimum were some shady dealings going on. Because unless you can explain it to me, I don't understand why Pope Pius the 12th is having, and this is just one book, nearly monthly meetings with members of American Freemasonry, high-ranking members of American Freemasonry. Now today, in the chapel, there were women with something on their heads. There was a holy priest, and there was a holy mass. There was singing, respectful. There was an aura of reverence, and there was a blessed sacrament. That's what the Catholic Church is. But to people who are on the outside looking in, this is not what they see. They're watching leadership of the Catholic Church, meet with members of the Communist Party, like Togliatta in Italy. And they're asking themselves, how can this be? I think we're in the last days. How we got here is anybody's guess, I suppose. But because of the way I study, I think birds of a feather flock together. Those who hate evil, I don't think support it. And those who understand false religions, I don't think hang around with members of the occult. The Lord says, let those who love the Lord hate evil. He says, Psalm 94:16, who will rise up for me against the wicked? Who will take a stand for me against evildoers? In Ephesians 6:8, he says, the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does. My parting words to you tonight are, as is said in 2 Thessalonians 2:14, hold the traditions which you have learned. Hate evil. Take a stand. Reprove the works of darkness. Do good. And wait on the Lord. Amen.